Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. Proverbs 24:3. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Proverbs 24:3. Psalm 91:11. For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 91:11. Proverbs 24:3. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Proverbs 24:3. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. You see this verse on the screen before you, and you see it on the back of today's bulletin. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. You received this morning a copy of some information called The Soul's Need for Daily Bible Study. I trust that all of you have this. It's important for you to have it in hand. And I would encourage you, if you don't have one, to lift your hand and let our secretary see to it that you have one. If you don't have this page, you need to have it in the service this morning. Thank you so very much. On the back of your bulletin, as I've already mentioned, we have a passages of Scripture, Ephesians 2, Ephesians 4, 22, and Ephesians 4, 23. Our purpose of being here today is to focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. We spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study, realizing the importance of being in fellowship with our Lord as we study His Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful today for the magnificent truths of Your Word, for the fact that we are Your children, members of the royal family, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, with the assurance that heaven is our eternal home, also with the assurance that while we're here on the earth, that You have a specific purpose and plan for us. Help us to realize the importance of living our lives in accordance with Your magnificent plan. We thank You for every person here this morning. We pray that we're here for no other purpose than to advance spiritually, that we'll be able to take the things we're learning and utilize them as we face the various difficulties and perplexities of life. We realize that in life there are many experiences. Some of them are trying experiences. Some of them are challenging. Some of them are the successes of life. But whatever the situation is, we pray that we'll be able to see from a divine vantage point. We'll be able to see vertically rather than horizontally. And we'll be able to see the various aspects of life as You would have us see them. And we thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We're going to begin our reading in just a few moments with verse 14 and read down through verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4, 14. We are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the emptiness, futility, mataotes, of their mind. Ephesians 4:18, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become calloused, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. I'm sure that you're able to see by this quick reading of these magnificent verses that we have an emphasis here upon what we're to be like as we live our lives on this earth. We've emphasized a number of times in recent days that the soul is always in a state of vacuum. As you can see on the sheet before you, the soul is always in a state of vacuum or negative atmospheric pressure. What is amazing to me that in the communication of God's Word over so many years, there are many thrills and exciting events that take place in the minister's life. Of course, there are some other things that take place that are not all that exciting, but I'm only emphasizing the exciting things right now. I want you to know that over the years, in the communication of God's Word, we've had people who've listened attentively and carefully, and I believe that they've advanced spiritually over a period of time. As a result of that, they draw conclusions. It's always amazing to me to see people draw conclusions. Oftentimes, individuals draw conclusions that are so biblical and so right that they even put these things down, and they bring them to me, just like the graph that you have before you. One of the men in our church has done this, and that's the reason why I'm excited to be able to tell you that this is fantastic information. If you'll look, you'll see that there's an emphasis upon the old sin nature. We'll let you look at that for a few moments in the top half of the circle. Then you'll look in the bottom half of the circle and you'll see again, O-S-N, the old sinful nature. Now what I'd like to do, first of all, is to put a definition on the screen for you. Some of you will want to type this down later and carry it down now by pencil or pen. But here's a definition for the old sin nature. Of course, you are aware of the fact that this is an abbreviated definition, but perhaps you ought to get this down and have it so that you can look at it time and time again. What is the old sin nature? O-S-N, the old sinful nature. The nature within all people that produces disobedience. The nature within all people that produces disobedience. The old sinful nature is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. I'm aware of the fact that these are important sentences and I can give them so quickly that they'll just bounce into your mind and out of your mind, but I don't want that to happen. The nature within all people that produces disobedience. The old sin nature is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. Most of you have memorized Romans 8:28, which says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. This is a magnificent verse of Scripture in Romans 8:28, We have looked at that many, many times. But when you look at Romans 8:28, you have to be aware of the fact that this is an emphasis upon what God does in the life of an individual as a result of the Spirit working in the individual's life. What we must realize, first of all, and that is, in relationship to the sinful nature, that this nature is within all people, believers and unbelievers. So you can add that particular thought to the first sentence that is listed here, the nature within all people that produces disobedience. I'm simply saying that this is a nature within all people, believers and unbelievers. The second sentence that you see on the screen is the old sin nature, is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. The old sin nature is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. When you look at Romans 8:28, you will find that there's an emphasis upon what takes place when an individual is born. They're born physically alive and spiritually dead. So there is the imputation of human life to the soul, and there's the imputation of Adam's original sin to the old sinful nature. Now, I'm aware of the fact that as I give those sentences, it takes time for you to hear it, and it takes time for you to think about it. All I'm trying to do is to point out that the second sentence on the screen, the old sin nature, is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. And the third sentence you see here is, the nature is inherited from Adam. This is described for us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, as you see on the screen. It is described in Romans chapter 5, verses, in chapter 6, verse 7, and in Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 19. We discover that the old sin nature, as I've just said, is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. The nature is inherited from Adam, as described, as I have on the screen, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Romans chapter 6, verse 7, and Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19. One of the things that we need to think about is that we do not sin personally to get the old sin nature. We sin because we have the old sin nature. I need to say that a bunch of times so that you'll sink into your innermost being. We do not sin personally to get the old sin nature. We sin because we have the old sinful nature. Human life, as I've just mentioned, is imputed to the soul at birth, and Adam's original sin is imputed at birth to the old sinful nature. What I'd like for you to do for a few moments with me is to take a look back into the Old Testament, and let's take a look at the man called Adam. We discover that we can see Adam before the fall, and we can see Adam after the fall. Well, first of all, let's put down some things about Adam, and that is that Adam had soul, he had physical life, and because he was without sin at that time, he had a spirit. So that simply means that the first Adam had a body, soul, and spirit. In his soul, there was awareness, there was mentality, there was emotion, there was choice, and there was conscience. Now, let me go back and reiterate what I've just said. You might want to write this. In his soul, there was awareness, there was mentality, there was emotion, there was choice, and there was conscience. Let's take a look at Adam before the fall. In fact, Adam had a relationship with God. No question about that. If you look at Adam, you will discover before the fall that he had a right attitude. No doubt about that. The third thing that I see about Adam before the fall is that there was emotion in Adam's soul. In other words, there was deep appreciation for the things that God had been doing and was going to do. When I look at Adam before the fall, I see that there was a desire at that point of time to do what we call, what is God's plan, will for my life. So I put it on God's way. And then there was something else that I noticed about Adam before the fall, and that was he had some divine standards. So I've just listed for you five things about Adam before the fall. If you didn't get those down, well, let's reiterate. Adam before the fall had awareness, mentality, emotion, choice, and conscience. In that magnificent Adam before the fall, there were these five things. Relationship with God, right attitude, deep appreciation for God, which we call the emotion of the soul. Four, there was an interest in God's way, God's will being accomplished. And five, there was an emphasis upon divine standards. Now, all of us are aware of the fact that there came a point of time when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. When they disobeyed God, something about them died. It was not at first their body that died. It was not the fact that their soul died, because they were still eternal beings. So what was it that died? It was the fact of their ability to comprehend spiritual phenomena. It was the spirit. So they moved from trichotomy, body and soul and spirit, to dichotomy, body and soul. Now let's look at Adam after the fall. If you're putting this down on one side of the paper, you put down the points Adam before the fall, 5 points. And then across the page on the other side, you put Adam after the fall. The first thing that I see about Adam after the fall is that he's now hooked up with evil. So let's put this down, please, because this is what we've been studying over a period of time. We've analyzed satanic thinking. We've analyzed evil. We're looking today at the fact that when sin is in charge, the old sin nature is in charge of your life and mine, then that simply means that we've allowed the old sinful nature to be the king, the very leader of our lives. How sad. So, number one, Adam after the fall, a hookup with evil. The second thing we discover about Adam after the fall is that there is discord. There is a mentality that is perplexed. A mentality that is perplexed. Discord in the life of Adam. The third thing that I noticed about Adam after the fall is that there is a distortion of the emotion. We would say that the emotion was warped. There are some words that describe that, and there is an emphasis in the scripture on a twisted soul, a twisted mind. And that's what happens when the old sinful nature takes charge. The fourth thing is that Adam was in a position of making wrong decisions. So if I were you, across a page from Adam's before the fall, Adam after the fall, wrong decisions. If you'll notice down at number 5 on Adam before the fall, there was divine standards. Now, improper attitudes, improper choices. Well, am I being unkind to you by giving you this without you seeing it? Let's see what we can do. Oh, I don't want to mess you up here. Those are small letters, and so I don't want to mess you up. That's not too good. Okay, let me just reiterate for a few moments. You look at your page. What about the soul of Adam? We're just looking at Adam now. There's awareness, mentality, emotion, choice, conscience. Adam before the fall, 5 things. Relationship with God, 1. 2, right attitude. 3, deep appreciation, that's his emotion. 4, interested in God's way being accomplished. 5, the divine standards. Adam after the fall, 1, a hookup with evil. 2, mentality perplexed, discord in his life. 3, warped, distorted emotion. 4, wrong decisions. And 5, improper attitude, improper choices. Now, I would be so happy if I could come and look at your page. I'd like to see just what you've done. I trust that you have put a line down the center, and on one side you put Adam's before the fall, And on the other side, you put Adam after the fall. And so you have a one here and a one there, a two here and a two there. Is that what you've done? I'm so proud of you. You all receive an A. You've passed the test. Okay. Old sinful nature changed. Think about this for a few moments. There exists an enmity, the Bible says. The depravity of the human race. Now, what I want you to do is to go back and look at the passage of Scripture that we started reading this morning. Would you do me a favor and go back to the book of Ephesians? And let's go down to verse 17. I'm not exegeting this passage, but I want you to see that I'm picking out some words so that you'll be able to see what we have from the original language. This I say, verse 17, and affirm together with the Lord that you and I walk no longer as the Gentiles, or a reference to the unsaved, who also walked in the, I don't know what your particular translation says, my translation says futility. So, in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4, there is the word futility. Now, let me tell you what that word is. The Greek word is mataotes. Mataotes is the Greek word which means emptiness. Mataotes is the word which means nothing in the soul, something that's vacant. So we have here an emphasis upon emptiness of the mind. Did you notice that? Now let's go on in verse 18. Being darkened in their understanding. Now let me stop again to let you see, and I don't want to spend all my time here, but I want you to see that if you go to page 42 in John McReynolds' book on the Believer's Toolbox, you will find a picture, a graph, and it will emphasize the nous, N-O-U-S, the mind, and it will emphasize the cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. Another one of the great blessings of being in a church and preaching God's Word over a period of time, you have individuals who will do things like this, which you have in hand, the picture, and you have books that are given out to you free of charge, and you need to take them and look at them and find out how fantastic the information is there. Being darkened in their understanding, and the word there, understanding, is that Greek word, nous. But it is used in this way, N-O-I-A, noia, which is an emphasis upon the mind. And there's an emphasis with a word that has a prefix at the beginning. It has a preposition at the beginning. It's D-I-A, so it's dianoia, which means that the mind, I guess we could say it this way, has been shot through. In other words, through the mind. So that is described here by the English word understanding. Being darkened in the understanding. Then it says, excluded from the life of God. One of the things that we must see is that if we are under the king, which is the old sinful nature, we're going to find our lives shot through with difficulties and perplexities, and we'll not be living a life of victory and triumph, which God desires for us to live. Excluded from the life of God. Why? Now, I don't want to be unkind to anyone, but this is saying this to me as well as it is to you. It says, because of the ignorance, that is in them. Now, I don't want to spend any more time there on ignorance, because I certainly wouldn't want myself to be classified as ignorant, and I wouldn't want to classify you that way. So let's just move away from that real fast. But let's go on. Because of the ignorance that is in them. But why? Because of the hardness of their heart. And the word hardness there is the Greek word porosis, which simply means something that is extremely hard. Then you go on to read. And they, having become, verse 19, they have become calloused. When I looked at this word callous, I realized that we need to put down here lack of sensitivity. Lack of sensitivity. Many people in this life have a lack of sensitivity when it comes to their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, oftentimes the decisions that are being made are not comparable to what God's plan is. And so it goes on then to begin to name a lot of things such as sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity. And then it goes on down through there, and we're not going to get into those, but there's a list of individual things that people can do when they're under the control of their sinful nature. You've seen this. You've had time to take it down. Now let's go back and take a look at our verse of Scripture, which is on the back of your bulletin, Ephesians 4:22. It is my responsibility now to take this verse of Scripture and exegete it for you. It says that you and I have a responsibility to put off concerning our former conduct of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, I'm telling you, this verse is packed full of information. So let's just take a little time and look at it. First of all, it says that you put off. This is our responsibility as believers, not to allow the old sinful nature to be the ruler, the master, the king of our life. All right, take your sheet of paper and let's look at it for a moment. I'm told that the square emphasizes physical life on earth in time. If you'll see across the page, it says, the soul is always in a state of a vacuum or negative atmospheric pressure. This simply says that we are confronted every day with evil or satanic thinking. So we have to make a decision every single day as we face what we hear on the radio, as we face what we see on the television, as we find ourselves with our friends and hear them talk, as we read the newspaper. We're having to determine whether this is vertical viewpoint, God's viewpoint, or if it is satanic viewpoint or evil. If you look on this page, you will see on one side satanic thinking. On the other side, you'll see W-O-G, which means the Word of God. If you'll notice down under the old sinful nature, there is a diamond there that says daily volitional perception. This is very, very good because it helps us to see that this line goes either to the direction to your right, which is a great system of comprehension and faith, or it can go to the left, which you see is evil thinking. Now, I was interested in asking questions about this cylinder, and I want you to see that we're going to call this evil thinking cylinder, and we'll call this on the right-hand side spiritual fuel cylinder. Now, please notice that these are what we could call storage places. So if a person is taking in satanic thinking, it is going over here and being placed in this storage place. If a person is taking in God's Word by means of the grace system of comprehension and faith, then it goes down into the cylinder we call spiritual fuel. Are you able to see that you and I have a responsibility of understanding that God has for us a plan in life? And His plan is for us to be victorious and triumphant and moving along every day as a believer, living a life that is in a proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't let this piece of paper drop now. Let's look at it again. On the left-hand side, if you look at it, you'll see that there's a Greek word, C-H-A-O-S, which is the word chaos. Now, that pretty well describes, I believe, what happens when a person, as a believer, is under the control of their sinful nature, when they've chosen to allow the old sin nature to be the king of their lives. Now, what happens is, if you'll follow that line, it moves on down on the left-hand side to satanic action. And then it says at the bottom of the page, moment by moment, utilization of the truth determines what we do in the world. We could also say that moment by moment, receiving and the utilization of satanic thinking determines what we do in the world. Now let's go to the right-hand side of the page quickly, and we'll see something under Grace, GSC, Grace System of Comprehension and Faith. If you'll drop down to the cylinder called Spiritual Fuel, let's look at that for a few moments. One of the things that we've analyzed over the past days is evil. We've looked at it time and time again. We understand that evil is satanic thinking. Evil is the utilization of the thinking of the devil on the one hand, and the utilization of God's thinking on the other hand is vertical viewpoint or divine thinking. Now, all of us in life receive on a daily basis satanic thinking. How are we going to get rid of it? And we have a line that grows across, if you'll notice. It says, removal process. That's a very important point for you to see. Removal process. The spiritual fuel that's in the cylinder that you're seeing there is being used, and it's moving across to erase, a little bit at a time, satanic thinking. Now, if you'll keep all of this in mind, hold the page, and we're going to begin to see what we've had in past days and what we have emphasized now. First of all, we emphasize the fact that in the Word of God, we have responsibility to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. We've emphasized the fact that the old sin nature is constantly bombarding us, and we have the responsibility to see, and I've decided that what I would do is to divide this into three major divisions. So, first of all, let's go to where we've been in the past. Look at it quickly. The soul's need is daily Bible study. All right, we've already analyzed this. The soul is always in a state of negative atmospheric pressure. You've seen it on your page. We have it up here. The second point is the inner part of the soul has a process that is constantly taking information received and storing it for future use. Now, what's very important for me now to let you look at this for a little while and let you analyze it along with me. What I'm trying to show you is that you and I have the responsibility of seeing that the inner part of the soul has a process that is constantly taking information that's received, regardless of the type of information it is, and storing it into our innermost being for future use. Each day, then, we must choose to take in the Word of God, W-O-G, which is the mind of Christ, M-O-C, which simply means that we're perceptive to God's Word. Or, on the other hand, we can allow the information of the world system, which I'm calling negative choice or negative volition. We can choose whether we're going to receive God's thinking or whether we're going to receive evil or satanic thinking. To advance in the Christian life, one must choose to take in the Word of God and the mind of Christ. So that's points one and two. Now let me move to points two and three. Well, no, I've already done that, haven't I? You folks help me, will you? Thank you. Let's go to three and four. You see this on the screen? If you don't have this down, please copy it. What we're doing in this service today is looking at number three. There's always the interaction with the old sinful nature. There's always the interaction of the old sinful nature. I realize that we will not be able to get into all of this, but I want you to see that in our verse of Scripture for this morning, there's an emphasis down in the last part of the verse that says, we're to put off the old man, we're to put off the old conduct of the old man, which is corrupt, according to, and then it says at the very last of this verse, deceitful lust. And the Greek word there is the Greek word epithymia, which I plan to discuss in detail, but I can't do that right now because I want you to see that we're going to move also this morning in just a little while to number four. There's always the interaction with the old sinful nature. Now, I'm going to put this verse back. Do you get this? Okay. Did I go too fast? All right. Thank you. All right. Don't copy number four because we'll do that next session. All right. Let's go back to the verse 22. Here's something that you must see that you put off. You and I have the responsibility as believers not being under the control of our sinful nature. So we can do something about the fact of the old sinful nature's control. What I'm saying there is, you've heard it, all of us have a sinful nature. We know now how the old sinful nature came into effect in our lives because we look back to Adam. We've left Adam. We're all the way down to where I live. We're down to where you live. And we're talking about the fact that you and I have a sinful nature. This verse of Scripture says that you and I have the responsibility, and I've got to get into this, you and I have the responsibility to make a decision to put off, not completely, because we'll never be able to, as long as we live in this life, to get rid of the old sinful nature completely, but to continually put off the desires, the control, the leadership, the kingship of the old sinful nature. Now, you may wonder why I'm hesitating here. I'm hesitating because I want you to get prepared to hear what I'm going to say. You put off. Look at that word, put off. Do you see that? Can you see it on the back of your bulletin? Please notice, this thing is so fantastic. I want you to see, and you can look at it at the back of your bulletin. Underneath the word, put off, you will see, in parentheses, A, M, and then I, N, F. Does anyone know what that means? Don't tell me. You do, don't you? And then look at the word in the Greek. A-P-O-T-I-T-H-E-M-I. Apotithemi. The Greek word tithemi is a word which means to put aside, to push aside. When you put the prefix at the beginning, the little preposition, apo, it means to throw off. Now, that's not really what I want to tell you. I think you ought to know that. It means that you and I have the responsibility as a believer of pushing aside, putting off, at points of time. That's the reason why that A stands for aorist tense, which means at points of time. You and I have the responsibility of pushing aside the control, the kingship of the old sinful nature. Here we go. Do you see that M? Does anyone know what that M means? Don't tell me. I'm not asking you to talk back to me. I'm just asking you to think with me. What does that M stand for? Oh, I thought you'd never ask me. But since you've asked me, I'm going to tell you. If it were an A, it would say active voice, which means the subject produces the action of that verb. If it was a P there, it would be a passive voice that says the subject receives the action of the verb. It doesn't have an A there. It doesn't have a P there. It has an M there. What does that mean, preacher? It's a middle voice. Okay. Oh, now that you're ready for this. The middle voice says the subject participates in the action and is going to be benefited thereby. The middle voice says the subject participates in the action and will be benefited thereby. Now you're saying, that's Greek to me. What does it mean in English? Here's what it means. It means that when you and I determine in our hearts not to be under the control of our old sinful nature, it's going to be a great benefit to us. You see that? That makes sense, doesn't it? It is telling us that you and I have the responsibility of living our lives in accordance with God's plan on a day-by-day basis. And the only way that that's possible is for us to have what we've called over and over again a spiritual house of the soul. Isn't this a beautiful picture? It's in your bulletin today, I think, isn't it? Now, we're not going to talk about this other than to mention that this is God's plan for us to overcome our old sinful nature. We're going to live and we're going to die. And when we die, we're going to still, at that point of time, have a sinful nature. But this verse of Scripture, the Spirit of God is using the Apostle Paul to write the Ephesian believers. And he's saying to them, here's something I want you to know. You will be benefited tremendously. You will be tremendously benefited if you make a decision on a daily basis to be filled with the Holy Spirit, saturated with the mind, the thinking of Jesus Christ, and put off the control of the sinful nature. Now you've seen this, so let's go back to our verse. We have a few moments and I want you to see it. This is so fantastic. You and I have the responsibility of doing what? Of putting off what? Concerning your former conduct. Now that's also interesting, isn't it? Your former conduct. The conduct here is an emphasis upon the controls of the old sinful nature. And he says here that this is corrupt. And the Greek word there is P-H-T-H-E-I-R-O. I always have fun when I come to try to pronounce a Greek word that starts with a P-H-T-H. I don't want anyone in front of me because I'll spit on you. Because you have to say it like that. You know, you have to let the saliva be in your mouth and spew out between your teeth. Now you folks didn't really want all that, did you? You say you got it. I'm sorry, Daryl. Man alive, I'll give you my handkerchief later. Please notice that it says corrupt. But notice how the word is used there from the original language. Do you see P, P, P? You see, don't you? You know what we said last Wednesday night, that when you have a word that is a verb, you conjugate it. When you have a word that is a noun, you decline it. Does that make sense? You conjugate a verb, you decline a noun. But what do you do when you have a participle? In the Greek language, in a participle, you have what is called a verbal noun or a verbal adjective. So it has parts that you conjugate and you have parts that you decline. Do you see this? P, P, P. Now, what does that stand for? Present, passive, participle. Now, some of you are saying, preacher, I didn't really want to know that much about it, but please let me tell you, because it's very, very, very powerful. This scripture is saying that you and I have the responsibility of not allowing our sinful nature to be the king of our lives, to be the ruler, the master, the controller of our lives. I feel like I'm talking to people who may think they don't have a sinful nature. But I'm here to tell you, if you think that way, folks, you're wrong. We all have sinful natures. And if I should get into some of the details and the results of the control of the old sinful nature, you'd blush. So I don't want to cause you to blush right here before the break. Let's look at it. Present tense, first P. That means continuous action. The second P there is passive voice. Subject receives the action of the verb. And the last P stands for a participle. Now notice I already told you that in a noun you decline and in a and a verb you conjugate, but this is a verbal noun. This is a participle. So you'll notice the next little letters, A-C-C. Oh, let me tell you this. It's so beautiful. In the study of the Word of God, in the language, and that's the reason why the language in the original is so important. If I see a word in the Greek that has letters at the end, and I know what those letters are, I immediately know whether that word is used as the subject of the sentence or not. I can look at that word and look at the suffix, the last letters, and I can tell you whether that word is the subject of the sentence, whether it's the genitive or ablative, shows possession. I can tell you by looking at the suffix, the last letters of that word, whether it is the indirect object, or I can look at that and tell you whether it's the direct object. Now, you didn't really want to know all that, but I want you to see that what I have here for you, A-C-C, which means that this word is used as the direct object of this sentence. And it says, you and I have the responsibility of putting off. We have the responsibility of laying aside the kingship, the rulership, the leadership of our old sinful nature. And then you'll notice that it's accusative, masculine, that's with the M, singular. And then there's that word, oh, didn't spit on you that time. I held my head another direction and spit on my wife. Okay, here we go. But look at the last words in the sentence that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man with the corruptness according to the deceitful lust. Let me see if I can tell you in just a few moments how magnificent that word is. The Greek word, as you can see, if you're looking at the Greek language there, is the word epithymia, which, as you can see, is E-P-I-T-H-U-M-I-A. I'm going to put this on the screen. Some of you would want to copy this. This word is used at least 38 times in the New Testament. Epithymia. A magnificent word. It's described as lust. Lust occurs in our mind and are not physical actions per se, though they may and frequently do lead to physical actions. When James was writing about this word, epithymia, he says, we're tempted when we're carried away and enticed by our own lust. He goes on to say, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth destruction. Some translations say death. Have you ever heard of the sin to death? We could talk about that, but we won't right now. A person who chooses to go away from the plan of God is going to face discipline from the Lord. Because in the book of Hebrews it says, he whom the Lord loves, he chastens and is willing to chastise. In other words, that's an interesting passage. He whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He chastises. And two words are used in that passage. One is, he will spank. And the other says, he will lay it on you. Now, that's my own words. That means he really spanks severely. And he goes on to say that if you do not receive chastening, wherein all are partakers, the Scripture says, then are ye bastards, illegitimate, and not sons. That's what it says. So you can expect as a believer to realize that when you and I sin and we're under the control of our sinful nature, God's going to handle us in these ways. First of all, there's going to be discipline. If we don't pay any attention to that, there's going to be, secondly, intense discipline. And if we don't pay any attention to that, there's going to be serious, serious discipline, which is called the sin unto death. In the first scriptures that are listed here, Luke 22:15, epithumia is used, lust, in a positive way. In Philippians 1:23, the word lust is used in a positive way. In 1 Thessalonians 2:17, the word is used in a positive way. But in the other verses that you want to copy, Romans 6:12, Romans 13:14, Galatians 5, on down, Ephesians 2:3, all of these plus many others, the word epithumia is used in a negative way. In other words, what this is saying is, sin is trying to get up on the throne of your life and mine. He's implying in the scripture that sin would try to take over the throne of our bodies by lobbying fiery missiles of lustful thoughts, which are not restricted to sexual lust. They're what I call variegated, multicolored. And that's what Satan is doing to us. Wow. We'll be back here in a few minutes. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful for this time together. We pray that you will help us to realize how important it is not to let the old sin nature be the ruler, the leader, the king of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The reason I turned them off is it makes me.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns. All music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king. Through all eternity, crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above. Triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious.